WCCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. An investigation is underway to determine what prompted a deadly shooting in Atlanta near Emory University and the CDC. CBS's David Malkoff.
Police say a man opened fire near the school, hitting several buildings at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention headquarters.
I heard what I at first thought was maybe construction, people doing roofing work. The reports just kept coming, and I kind of grew up around guns, and I figure out pretty quickly that this is not a hammer that you're listening to.
Police say when it was all over, the gunman and an officer from DeKalb County Police Department were both dead.
President Trump says he and his Russian counterpart will meet next Friday in Alaska to discuss an end to the war in Ukraine. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
We now know this will be a meeting happening by next week, coming together very quickly, we should add. It's the first time that Trump and Putin are going to meet of this administration. They had met previously during Trump's first administration. They have spoken several times via phone in March, in April, in May.
The Kremlin says it has invited Trump to visit Russia following next week's summit. A frightening sight at tonight's NFL preseason game between Detroit and Atlanta. Lion safety Maurice Norris was hurt trying to tackle Nathan Carter. He was attended to for about 20 minutes, then taken off the field in an ambulance. The game ended prematurely as the players let the clock run out. The standoff rolls into the weekend in Texas, where State House Democrats have fled the state to prevent a vote on Republicans' newly drawn congressional map. KRLD's Chris Fox.
The roll has been called and a quorum has not been established.
Texas State House Speaker Dustin Burroughs. It's day five of the Texas Democrats' quorum break to block a vote on the congressional map that's designed to flip as many as five seats to the Republicans.
Attorney General Ken Paxton and I took action to domesticate the civil arrest warrants in the state of Illinois, seeking to make them enforceable beyond Texas state lines.
The FBI is also assisting in the effort to return the Democrats, and now those breaking quorum can only receive their paychecks at the state capitol. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Firefighters in California are battling the fast-moving canyon fire that has caused evacuations near Lake Piru in Ventura County. CBS's Nick Zechevich.
Thousands of residents have been forced to evacuate. The canyon fire comes just 8 months after the deadly Palisades and Eaton fires in Los Angeles County and has put residents on high alert.
The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection said the canyon fire is burning at a rapid speed, and it's threatening power lines and multiple communities. This is the fourth major fire in the state in recent days.
This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get renter's insurance to protect the things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. Visit progressive.com.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the New York Mets. Milwaukee, the first team in the majors to have 70 wins. They are four games ahead of the Cubs after beating the Braves Wednesday, thanks to Isaac Collins, Blake Perkins, Sal Frelick, manager Pat Murphy.
I'm proud of the guys. I mean, they find ways. They keep going, keep the pressure on. Somebody else every night. I mean, I guess Collins is every night. But then, like, Perk was incredible. He had a great game. Yelly always comes up big for us. Sal hasn't played in a while. I had three hard contacts on base three times. Ortiz is, you know, finds a way to get involved offensively. And, of course, defensively, he's been great.
NFL, the Packers host the New York Jets 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
There's a lot that goes into those preseason games in regards to the evaluation process. It's live football, unscripted looks, unscouted looks. And you want to see how these guys react.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, warm and muggy tonight with showers and storms possible late and lows in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, staying humid with high temperatures in the low to mid 80s. Currently at 79.
Todd Albaugh,
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Take a look back at the big sports events. The Packers kick off the preseason, and the Brewers try to continue the winning streak, and a little news as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Matt and Air on Air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
I didn't know what the hell Malort was, so here now, our own Carol, head of traffic, she's brought in Malort. Down the hatch, cheers to Malort. Now, it went down fairly smooth, but the back end is ridiculously terrible. Judas Priest, that's terrible. Once is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my time with women.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our guest, I want to remind folks, today is Free Ticket Friday. Text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, right now via the Civic Media app only. Text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Wednesday's game at AmFam when the Brewers host the Pirates. Text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, spelling counts. All my haters, here's your big chance. PITCH is the word, P-I-T-C-H, as I said, spelling counts. You'll have another word from 11 to 2 with Tom Hartman, and another one with Todd from 2 to 4 and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays underway today on Civic Media. Delighted to be joined by our next guest, State Representative Jenna Jacobson is here. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning to you all, too.
Really glad to have you with us. I wanted to start off, this is an article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redman has the byline, and I just wanted to mention that Senator Howard Markline, who is a Republican from Wisconsin, says that farmers are not concerned about Donald Trump's policies. Apparently, everything's great. Oh.
Well, then I'm going to go home then. I'll see you guys later.
Farmers aren't worried. Don't worry about tariffs. Don't worry about losing all your workers. Everything's good. Representative, you had a recent event where you appeared with Brad Paff and also our friend of the show, Darren Von Rudin, recently at a farm. I'm curious what you're hearing from Wisconsin farmers.
I'm hearing that farmers are concerned. And I think one of the things that is driving that concern is the flip-flopping back and forth of, are we going to have a tariff? What's the cost of that tariff going to be? When's it going to be implemented? And then suddenly it's not going to happen or it's changing. And that makes it really hard for everybody, but specifically farmers, to make plans and understand the markets that they're trying to work in to sell their products. So I'm not sure exactly why Howard Markline said that, because that is the opposite of what I've been hearing from folks around the district.
Almost makes one wonder if Howard Markline has actually talked to any farmers, but, you know, one wonders.
One wonders.
One wonders.
I'm curious.
Just curious.
It seems like a very convenient way to hand wave away the question is that, you know, I know what's going on. They're fine. They're tough people. And it goes back to that sentiment goes back to something we've discussed for a long time on this show, is that farmers, I don't say this phrase lightly because I feel like a lot of people do and they use it as a campaigning phrase, but farmers are truly the backbone of this society. The agriculture that goes on, especially in Wisconsin, is so vital to the progress of the state, the country, the world. And farmers persist. They keep going. They do the job. And they're not doing it because they're like, they're doing it because they have to and they want to and they're a passion, but like it's the work. It's the thing they need to do. They just want to work. And I do not understand why we would make it even harder than it already is for them with not just tariffs, but other aspects too, as far as staffing being taken away from them as well at a moment's notice. But it just feels like we should be holding up farmers like we should be holding up teachers. And yet we have people like, and he's not the only one, who just say things like that. Ah, the farmers are fine. They're not fine. And they're saying something. They're standing up. And it's regardless of who they voted for. They need our help.
Right. Yep. 100%. And, you know, farmers are strong and they are resilient. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do everything that we can to help make their job easier, to help them do the work that we need them to do. You're mm-hmm. right. The backbone in Wisconsin, it's over $100 billion added to our economy. It's one in 10 jobs is related to the agricultural industry. That is a massive impact to our state, not to mention we're America's dairyland. It's our heritage that we have to be preserving. And so the idea that anybody doesn't care about what is happening to our farmers, to our agricultural heritage, and this incredibly important industry to our state is beyond what I would believe somebody would say.
Right. Yeah. What are you talking about? How can you say those things? It beggars belief. It really does. And when Darren Von Rooten was on our show earlier this week, he had mentioned Wisconsin continues to lose dairy farms at a frightening pace, truly.
Yes. Yeah, we're down to just over, I think it's like 5,300 dairy farms. Mm-hmm. We're seeing large consolidation. We're seeing the loss of small farms. In fact, I wrote a bill last session. We're getting ready to reintroduce it. That tries to help with that succession planning so we can have more people enter into farming because it is just so expensive and so hard to do. And we know that if we as a state aren't doing something to promote our small farms to help people get back into that industry, we're going to continue to lose more farms. We're going to continue to see this consolidation. And it really makes you think about, you know, about our agricultural heritage and what that vision is going to look like in the future.
State Representative Jenna Jacobson is our guest, and we're talking about the state of Wisconsin farmers, tariffs, immigration raids, all of these things going on. I'm wondering, Representative, for people who may not appreciate the damage that consolidating can bring, the damage that massive consolidation of all these family farms, what does that mean for consumers? Is this good for consumers?
Well, I think it gets rid of, changes the consumer choice. I think it also, you think about we have this incredible local food movement that is happening throughout our state. I think, you know, Wisconsinites really enjoy being able to go to their neighbor to get their beef, to get their vegetables. And when you see more consolidation and less people getting into farming, that relationship with your food, with your neighbors kind of goes away. I also feel like when we talk about environmental support, when you have farmers who are living in your community and taking care of that soil and their waterways and their kids are going to those schools, they're looking at their environment differently than if it's some corporate farm that's just coming in and popping a huge building into a bunch of land that they've recently acquired. So,
well, and you make a really important point, Representative, I think, in that, you know, a lot of these corporate companies, they don't have folks who are on the ground here. They don't live, as you said, they don't live in these communities. They don't send their kids to these schools. The health of these smaller communities is not necessarily of their concern, as opposed to an independent farmer who that is their community. The schools are the backbone of rural communities in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. They absolutely are the backbone. And, you know, and that's another thing that we see in addition to not investing in our farming and our agricultural industry, we're not seeing an investment in schools that protects our rural schools. And that's another thing that Howard has been lacking on in his tenure. And we have to see that change. We have to start fully funding our schools. We have to be investing in our rural communities and our farms so we can keep our rural heritage.
Yeah, I think that's the important point to make in the conversation, too. When we talk about farming, it's important to mention when we're talking about the protection of our local farmers, our small business farmers, I feel like when we talk about farming, individuals can propose it as like, we need to help our farmers. Like, who are we helping? Is that money going to a corporation or is that going to the guy who literally lives 20 minutes from my house right now? And I think that's an important distinction to make because it's so intertwined. And when we talk about cutting a check for farmers as they did years ago to make up for what happened to them because of the first trade war, we need to make sure that, okay, I don't think farmers would say no to some relief. They want to work. They want to get the work done. But when if the money is going to be cut, if there's going to be a check, that it goes to the individuals who are actually providing the services to our state that make the most difference.
Not necessarily these big conglomerates.
Yeah. Sorry, that is me railing against corporate farming. My apologies for a moment there.
fine with me.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say, yes, to that point, so we had a federal program called the Local Food Purchasing Program, mm-hmm. and the USDA cut that earlier this year.
Yeah.
Senator Paff and I introduced a bill to attempt to recreate that at the state level. So we're giving grants to our farmers, our small farmers, but that food is also then going to our local food pantries. It's going to the folks who need it the most. And again, focusing on fresh, healthy, local food that people could have. And so there are things that we can't change everything at the state level, but there are so many things that we can be doing that would be impactful to our farmers, to our rural communities that just haven't been getting done. And we need to start focusing on the people of Wisconsin.
I'm going to cite from this article again from the Wisconsin Examiner about the recent event that you had along with Brad Paff and Darren Von Ruden. Tom Tiffany again says that through actions like raising the estate tax exemption for farms and setting up trade agreements with countries around the world, Wisconsin farmers now get to benefit from free markets. This estate tax exemption, I have heard come up a lot of times when Republicans are trying to justify these big cuts. Does the estate tax really impact that many family farms in Wisconsin? Do you know?
I don't know offhand. My guess would be, I probably shouldn't guess, but agriculture is expensive, right? Land is expensive. Mm-hmm. Equipment is expensive. So those things add up pretty quickly. And I think that's why we need to make the transition succession planning a huge part of the conversation and really focus on that, you know, as people are wanting to get out of farming or retire from farming or looking at what's going to happen with their agricultural assets after they pass, to make that transition smoother and so that people can get into farming. Because that's the other component of it is that people can't afford to buy the land or the equipment. And again, that's why I had this Farming Forward bill to help ease that transition because we need to get that next generation, make it easier for them, right? Make it so that they can get into farming.
And make a living at it.
Yeah,
that's kind of an important component of that whole thing, which, again, I think people forget.
Yeah,
I do.
I think this is purely petty from my point. But I just for me, when I hear someone like we're talking about very common sense, which should be bipartisan solutions. And someone like Tom Tiffany says the estate tax. I'm like, where did that even come from? What are you talking about right now? No one brought that up. I'm talking about trying to just make it easier for them. And that can be a part of the solution. Yes, but we need clearer, more pointed solutions than just like, we'll take care of a tax. It's not the solution you think it is.
Well, and it, you know, as we see farms decreasing, who's going to be the majority of people benefiting from the estate tax exemption? That would be the next question I would get.
Very good question. Our guest is State Representative Jenna Jacobson. We're going to continue our conversation with her. If you would like to ask a question, you can always text it in at 855-752-4842. We have Teresa on the live stream with a comment about tariffs. We'll come back with that. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Laura McCoy, she is a member of the Green Bay School Board.
In the 1990s, revenue caps were put into place, and Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling with that basically ever since. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. That's wonderful, but we need that per-pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, it is Free Ticket Friday, so grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word PITCH. P-I-T-C-H. Text in the word PITCH. You're in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Wednesday when the Brewers host the Pirates. You have until 11 o'clock, so text in the word PITCH right now, P-I-T-C-H, via the Civic Media app. Joining us is State Representative Jenna Jacobson, and we are talking about Wisconsin farmers and all the challenges that they're facing, tariffs as well. And I did want to share this that came in on the live stream, Representative, even though this isn't specific to farmers, but I still think it's important. If you're still talking about tariffs, While we're not Ford, we are already feeling them. I own a small microbrewery in Eau Claire. I placed an order this morning from a company that imports from Canada. After shipping costs, there's now a tariff charge. So in addition to taxes, shipping on this order now has a $100 tariff charge. This is a small order. I can't imagine what it's going to be when we need to order cans in the spring. Small businesses cannot withstand these added costs. And this is multiplied by a billion all around the country.
Yeah, tariffs are, I think, especially this fall, we're really starting to see the impacts. You know, we were talking about farmers earlier. They're seeing the impacts as they're purchasing their inputs, as well as it's back to school time. Yep. I have three kiddos.
Yep.
And fortunately or unfortunately, they grew all summer. So I have to buy new pants for them and new shoes.
New shoes.
And, yep. And in addition to all the back to school supplies and we're feeling it. We're seeing it impacting the back to school shopping, and it's just going to keep growing and growing. And Wisconsin families are already strapped. We've already been struggling, right? We've been hearing so much grocery costs. Yep. I mean, at first I thought it was because two of my kiddos are teenagers, but it turns out
they're not just eating like moose. Yes.
Right. But we're already feeling the pinch with other costs, and now we're going to have these tariffs on top of it. Small businesses, exactly, we've been highlighting and hearing about the impacts to small businesses around the state. This is really, really starting to hurt Wisconsin folks across the state, and we've got to push back on our federal delegation. I know I've been working with our federal partners to say that we can't afford this. We mm-hmm. don't need more taxes.
And you were speaking earlier about a bill that you were pushing through to help farmers with a program to get, you know, funding to allow them to grow food, to donate to pantries. And in the politics side of it, you made the announcement that you are a state representative right now, but you are running for state Senate. So can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So I announced on July 7th that I'm going to challenge Howard Markline. I'm running for state Senate, flip the 17th Senate district. And there's so many reasons why I want to do this. In addition to the fact that I think my conversations with people around the district, they are frustrated with not being heard. They're frustrated with feeling like when they finally do get to talk to their state senator, that then he goes to the Capitol and votes in the ways they're not asking for.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I go back to, you know, farmers are concerned. Perhaps mm-hmm. they're just not sharing that with him because he has a history of not listening for the past 15 years.
I mean, he wouldn't be the first elected official who claims to be of the farmers and does nothing to help the farmers. I'm only looking to Western Wisconsin, the third Darren Horn. But like, and I think that's important. I think that's absolutely great. I'm all for someone stepping in and saying, no, let's actually do the work and help these individuals out.
Well, and challenge some of these people who have been there for a long time. As you said, Howard Markline's been there for a long time and is not necessarily responsive anymore to constituents, which is yet another reminder of why we don't need or want extreme gerrymandering. Because when you do that, you insulate politicians on all sides so that they don't have to respond to you. Oh, did we lose you, Representative?
Yes. And I apologize for interrupting you earlier.
Not at all.
I'm here. Can you hear me still?
Yeah.
No?
Yes, we're good.
Okay. All right. Sorry. School funding is another thing that's been an issue in this district. We have had some of the most amount of school referenda in the past 2 years of any other Senate district. We have had elementary schools close in consolidation because of lack of funding. And under this most recent state budget, we have so many schools that are losing general ed funding. So while you'll hear a lot about special education reimbursement going up, what they're not talking about is that the general aid is, as in a lot of cases, going down. I believe it was 60% of schools in this district is going down. And again, we talk about costs to families and costs to people in the district. They're already strapped with grocery costs.
Yes.
They're already, the tariffs are going to be hitting them. And now we have school districts that are going to be asking for more money so mm-hmm. that they can continue to do the basics But they need their, you know, they're going to ask voters to increase their property taxes. And this is just another cost that people can't afford right now.
We talked about this quite a bit yesterday, Representative, just about the fact that Republicans love to talk about fixing things and they just never seem to get around to actually doing the fixes. Because it costs it, or investing in education instead of sitting on this surplus, investing in our schools so that we don't constantly have to go to referendum to keep our schools running. There's a lot more to cover. We're just about out of time. We will include context for your campaign as well as the article that we were talking about. State Representative Jenna Jacobson has been our guest. Thank you so very much, much for your time this morning, Representative. Really appreciate it.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate the time.
We have news coming up next when we return audio sorbet with a side of deep fried gripe. We're going to lighten it up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News special report. Police in Atlanta say the gunman who fired his weapon near Emory University outside the headquarters of the Centers for Disease Control is dead, but so is a police officer. DeKalb County Interim Police Chief Gregory Patrick.
This officer responded to the call as he did, as he was trained to do. And during that incident, he received gunfire and he lost his life in this incident.
Bullets struck at least four of the CDC's buildings. DeKalb County CEO Lorraine Cochran Johnson.
Today is a very dark day in DeKalb County as we stand before you during the loss of one of our beloved officers.
The officer was married with two children and another on the way. He was 33 years old. This woman was nearby.
The first reaction is to freak out because something was telling me not to leave the hospital and I left and then to see this. But very shocking.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the New York Mets. Milwaukee, the first team in the majors to have 70 wins. They are four games ahead of the Cubs after beating the Braves Wednesday, thanks to Isaac Collins, Blake Perkins, Sal Frelick, manager Pat Murphy.
I'm proud of the guys. I mean, they find ways. They keep going, keep the pressure on. Somebody else every night. I mean, I guess Collins is every night. But then, like, Perk was incredible. He had a great game. Yelly always comes up big for us. Sal hasn't played in a while. Wow, I had three hard contacts on base three times. Ortiz is, you know, finds a way to get involved offensively. And, of course, defensively, he's been great.
NFL, the Packers host the New York Jets 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
There's a lot that goes into those preseason games in regards to the evaluation process. It's live football, unscripted looks, unscouted looks. And you want to see how these guys react.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Eddie Murphy has pretty much been an open book for most of his incredibly impressive career. He was a highly successful comedian, one of the most popular SNL actors ever, and has had a lengthy movie career packed with several blockbusters like Beverly Hills Cop and Trading Places. That did not stop him from pointing out some of the blemishes on his resume in a recent interview with Complex 360. Murphy had no problem discussing some of his clunkers, which included maybe what Murphy considers to be his biggest bomb, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. The sci-fi comedy came out in 2002 and is also one of the biggest flops of all time after bombing with critics and only making $7 million against a $100 million budget. 1998's Holy Man is also on his list and lost big bucks, but when asked about his critically panned comedy Norbit, where Murphy played several different characters, Murphy held his ground and said he loved the movie. More honesty like this, please. Love Eddie Murphy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds, warm and muggy tonight with showers and storms possible late and lows in the low 70s. Mostly cloudy for the weekend, scattered showers and thunderstorms, staying humid with high temperatures in the low to mid 80s. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck. Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to Tom Nelson about his new book, comparing the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to how the economy has been turning against its workers.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, it is underway. Free Ticket Friday is going on right now. So if you haven't yet, grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Text in the word pitch, spelling counts.
Mm-hmm.
P-I-T-C-H. You can text that in until 11 o'clock this morning. That gets you in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Wednesday when they host the Pirates at AmFam Field. So text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, right now. And good luck. You'll have another chance from 11 to 2 with Tom Hartman. And then again with Todd from 2 to 4. Todd Alba and Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays underway today on Civic Media. Stay with us all day long. You can enter every time we get a new word.
Yes.
So you got lots of chances to win those tickets. All we ask is that you're able to go to next Wednesday's game.
Yes.
Because I understand these are hot tickets.
These are it's the hottest team in baseball, literally. The best record. We're four games up in first place. They took a day off yesterday. They were so hot, Jane, yesterday. Like, guys, just, you know.
Just so they weren't steaming.
Oh, they had to cool down. But, yeah, no, they're back in action today, and it's exciting to watch. And
it really is.
It's good stuff.
So you could be in the running just like Jim from Wausau or Pat from Eau Claire. We also had an entry. Here he is. Ryan from Edgar. Edgar, by the way, is west of Wausau. Did you know that? Put that on our list.
Hey, Jane, when did you find out about that? Where did the location?
When I just looked it up. Where is Edgar, Wisconsin?
Where's Edgar? I think he's in the garage.
No, thank you, Ryan. So text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, and good luck. This is the portion of the show we like to lighten things up and just take a breath, get away from the news a little bit. We call it Audio Sorbet. Today, it's a special edition, Audio Sorbet with a side of deep fried gripes. Mm.
Let me tell you something, boy.
Nice job, Calvinator. We're talking horrifying state fair foods.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last weekend of the great Wisconsin State Fair. By the way, ranked number 3 of the greatest state fairs in the country.
Of all states fair?
Of all states fair, Wisconsin State Fair number 3. I think Minnesota's number 1, Iowa's number 2. Fine.
Well, you know,
got number 3.
It makes sense that the three of us are top threes. You know, like, I don't really think in Michigan, you're fine. But I feel like if you're talking about state fair and everything that goes into a state fair, Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin have probably have it on lock.
On lock. Yeah, yeah. I like that. So Reader's Digest compiled a list of the worst deep fried state fair foods from all over the country.
Just
because
Reader's,
it doesn't, Reader's Digest. I know. I was very delighted when I saw this morning.
Kids, ask your meemaw.
She knows what Reader's Digest is.
I love their abridged books.
So some of the worst deep fried state fair foods, according to Reader's Digest. Number one, we got your fried scorpions at the Arizona State Fair.
Okay, Arizona, let's just take a moment here. First of all, you don't need a state fair. There's like four people living in your state.
I think there's more than that.
Okay, fine. There's more. But still, it's you don't have to be so on the nose with who you are. You know, that would be like having Wisconsin having like deep fried, I don't know, pickup truck. I have no idea. But like deep fried scorpion.
You think that's trying too hard?
I feel like you're just showing off.
Fine. Take that, Arizona. Also on the list of worst deep fried state fair foods, fried jelly beans at the Massachusetts State Fair. Why?
I don't know.
Why would you do that?
I just think it's all about, nowadays it's all about shoulda instead of coulda.
It's the novelty of it. It's like, yeah. This won't necessarily be good, but it's new.
It's a food that you can actively pay too much for. With middling to low expectations, you can say like, "Oh, these six deep fried jelly beans were $12, and they're terrible." But man, I just paid $12 for deep fried jelly beans.
And I got it all over my socials.
Exactly, exactly. It's about the clout, baby.
The important thing. I dispute this one. This is also on the list of worst deep fried foods at state fairs: fried meatballs. At the Minnesota State Fair.
That can't be a thing. That's not a thing all over
fried
the place.
Fried meatballs. Deep fried spaghetti and meatballs on a stick at the Minnesota State Fair.
Deep fried spaghetti and meatballs?
Spaghetti and
meatballs.
Okay,
that sounds interesting because it just, to me, I picture a corn dog
extra
type.
Extra element?
Yeah, exactly. And also, Calvin, you know, whatever. He put in our chat, something really on the nose like deep fried cheese or deep fried butter. You're right. Wisconsin would never be that cliche. I swear to God. I swear to God. Okay. Cheese and butter is something we can all get around. Worldwide. Deep fried cheese, there you go. It's called a cheese curd.
Yes.
Everyone would do that. You get 10 people together, give them deep fried cheese and a deep fried scorpion. Which one do you think they're going for? We win.
Calvin.
You are completely right, Craig. I just found
That's all I needed to hear.
I just found it funny that when you were giving that example, I said, you know, Wisconsin, that'd be like Wisconsin having deep fried. And I knew you wanted to say cheese. But you skipped it and went with pickup truck.
I don't know. I'm not that smart nor funny, so I guess.
Speaking of Wisconsin State Fair, on the list of the worst deep-fried state fair foods, fried butter, Calvin, is on there.
I just don't understand.
Deep-fried butter, I don't. It's a dough ball with a butter in the middle, and it's molten lava hot.
And that was the thing. We talked about this, I think we talked about it when the fair was starting, is things like deep fried Snickers and deep fried Oreos, those things, they melt in that casing. And when you bite into them, it's literally just hot lava being shot into your mouth. And it's disgusting.
Deep fried Snickers also on this list. I think that they cite this Florida State Fair, but I know I tried that a couple of years ago when my husband and I went to the Wisconsin State Fair. It kind of ruined the Snickers. Actually, it did. Because like you said, it all melts into one little glob.
Yeah, and then it's just like, oh, this tastes like peanuts and nothing.
Worst deep fried state fair foods. That is our audio sorbet with a side of deep fried gripes.
On a stick.
Greg supplying that. Deep fried beer.
Get out of here.
The Texas State Fair. They insert the drink into a pocket of pretzel-like dough and fry it for 20 seconds. Thank goodness the quick cook time means that the beer keeps its alcohol content, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, guys, you guys want a hot breaded beer? Boy, oh boy. What'd you do last night? I wasted on deep fried beer, everybody.
I had 400 of them.
I don't want to drink Lone Star when it's cold. I don't want to drink when it's hot.
Worst deep fried of state fair foods compiled by Reader's Digest. Fried Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Doesn't even say where this is. No one wants to claim it. Similar to beer, you can get a refreshing Coke popped in the fryer. Chefs create a dough batter made of normal dough and then add Coca-Cola and then they fry it. Yeah, no. Fried Kool-Aid balls.
Okay, so here's the thing about that is it in that article, which will be in the show notes, they have all these pictures of the foods.
Yes.
And not all of them are the actual, like, the deep-fried scorpion. It's just a picture of the scorpion. But they just have the image of the packet of Kool-Aid. So you can't even see what a deep-fried Kool-Aid would look
like. Looks like.
It just feels like it looks as terrible as it sounds.
San Diego County Fair offers deep-fried Kool-Aid balls. True aficionados recognize that kids' drinks are best served as a finger food. So, again, that's going to be like deep-fried Coca-Cola. So it's going to have this one little lava-hot ball of cherry Kool-Aid in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Worst deep-fried state fair foods is our audio sorbet for today. Fried pumpkin pie.
Okay, you know what? I can get behind that.
Really?
I could definitely get behind trying deep-fried pumpkin pie. I mean, that at least to me seems like something that makes sense in its presentation. I understand deep-fried Snickers. I understand deep-fried Oreos. I understand taking a traditional dessert and deep-frying it. That makes sense to me. Butter, scorpions, Kool-Aid,
it's kind
Coke.
Of stretch.
Get out of my country.
Okay.
But deep-fried pumpkin pie, I would give that a shot.
You're open to that? That's at the North Carolina State Fair. It doesn't start till October.
See,
you have time. Fried Twinkies, okay. Also on the list of worst state fair deep-fried foods. You can get the fried Twinkies at the Indiana State Fair. I think that's pretty much all over the place.
They're all over the place, yeah. That's a standard one at this point.
I have never heard before of fried Jell-O. Kansas State Fair dessert options include deep-fried Jell-O and deep-fried Nutella. How's that for a serving of jiggly sweet goodness?
As someone who would openly and happily eat Nutella out of the jar with my finger, I would eat deep-fried Nutella.
But not deep-fried Jell-O?
I don't, that's just deep-fried Kool-Aid. That's all that is. Kelvin, do you have any other thoughts on this? Any other, anything that you've either tried that you don't like or just, you know, no thank you.
I'm just trying to, like, envision how deep-fried Kool-Aid would work. It's what I'm assuming it is sounds awful. I'm sure they just freeze a little ice cube of Kool-Aid.
Probably.
Batter it and fry it. But I'm envisioning, like, if you made, like, a Kool-Aid jelly, and then it would be kind of like a jelly donut that is Kool-Aid themed.
I think you're taking this to a whole new level, Kelvin.
See, absolutely. Kelvin, we should call Amy from Poppy Bakery. You make a Kool-Aid-based filling, you inject it into a donut, and then you could. There you go.
The Kool-Aid jelly.
Yes.
Kool-Aid jelly.
You make a jelly with a Kool-Aid flavor, and there you go. I mean, that makes, see, Kelvin, and then you can deep fry it.
He's our own little entrepreneur over here.
Yes. Calvin's going to be a billionaire, and I'm just going to be like, hey, man, remember me? I'm Greg.
BJ on the live stream says hot beer is gross. That shouldn't be a thing. I would agree with you on that, PJ. And finally, wrapping up the worst deep-fried state fair foods, courtesy of Reader's Digest, fried salad. The Texas State Fair, you can dig into a fried club salad. You're mostly eating it for the bacon and the chicken. But there have been some brief sightings of lettuce, tomatoes, and carrots. I don't even know what to do with that.
See, this is where I think Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa should come together as a multi-state force to pass or deny other state fairs from their deep-fried food ventures.
There should be like a ban.
Yes.
They should be able to ban them.
Like a UN, but just us and other states have to apply for their foods and we get to say no or yes. And I feel like the wonderful people of those state fairs would come to it with an open mind, balanced, and say, take your deep fried salad and throw it in the Rio Grande.
So you want like a deep fried food advisory board is kind of what you're
deep
thinking.
Deep fried food conglomerate / authoritarian state.
Okay.
Where we make the rules.
It's all about democracy.
I'm starting to like this, Jane. I'm getting behind it.
Go to the state fair this weekend, the last weekend of the great, fabulous Wisconsin State Fair. Make sure you check out the dairy building and get a new cream puff and a baked potato and a grilled cheese sandwich.
Check out the horse contest, the horse races, the
dock diving.
Yep.
Dogs dock diving and so much more.
Take pictures and text them to us.
We would love to see it. Coming up, we're going to wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Beware Flying Fish Edition. That's coming up. Stay close to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A legal challenge against the Line 5 oil pipeline is set to begin August 12th in Ashland. Canadian oil giant Enbridge wants to trench and blast across northern Wisconsin to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline. Environmental groups and the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa are challenging permits and other approvals for the project issued by the DNR. Environmental groups across Wisconsin are calling on the state's congressional representatives not to support a bill that would weaken the Clean Water Act. The so-called Permit Act would, among other harms, allow polluters to release PFAS forever chemicals into waterways without telling state officials, allow massive amounts of pesticides to be released into waterways, and fast-track projects that destroy wetlands and streams. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday! On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you haven't done it yet, grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app. pick your favorite station, for example, WAUK, and text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Text in the word pitch. It is our free Ticket Friday contest. Mm-hmm. You are in the running then for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Wednesday's game at AmFam when the Brewers host the Pirates. So you have until 11 o'clock. You got about 7 minutes left to text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you after 11 o'clock, Todd, all but with a different word from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. All kinds of chances to enter today. You can enter every show with the different keyword. So good luck. The word right now, pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Spelling counts.
Spelling counts, everybody.
Spelling does count. We have a busy week next week. I wanted to point out a couple of things. We have some guests coming up next week. Shelley Pittman, of course.
Yes.
Civic Media's news director will be here on Monday morning to help us recap what happened over the weekend. A lot of times it seems we get off the air at 11 o'clock and then about an hour and a half later, breaking news.
An hour, sometimes minutes.
Yeah, sometimes minutes. So Ashali will be here on Monday. Really looking forward to talking to State Senator Kelda Royce next week.
Yes. Yes.
Andra Watkins, who has also been a frequent guest on our show. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household and has some really interesting insights into the authors of Project 2025, and many of those same people are now in the Trump administration. Andrew Watkins is going to join us coming up this next coming Wednesday. Right now, though, Calvin, it's just about 10:55. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from WPKR
92.5.
Headline reads, only in Wisconsin, driver hits falling fish on highway. A bald eagle, a falling fish, and a baffled driver. On Sunday morning, July 27th, Albert Cutler and his family were driving home from church in Waukesha County when they saw something right out of a wildlife documentary. While driving on Highway 16 near Okauchee Lake, Cutler noticed a bald eagle soaring majestic
and I'm proud in the air. Be an American.
He was apparently very hungry. And then came the unexpected. Cutler told Fox 6 News, as he's watching it fly over his car, the eagle lost its grip on a fish mid-flight, and the bass fell directly onto his truck. Cutler's first reaction, along with his family, was, did I just hit a fish?
I don't know, dude. Did the fish just hit you?
I can see where all of us, you're just driving along, and then whack.
I don't.
There's a fish lands on your windshield.
I don't know if there is a more Wisconsin thing that has ever happened
so great
in the history of the universe, I will say.
They said they didn't think much of it until they got home, where they found a largemouth bass wedged in the grill of the truck.
Oh, poor baby. Oh, man.
As fate would have it, the sermon that morning had been things you've never seen before.
Well, now what they have to do is they have to take that fish to the mount and feed the people with that and the bread. It will feed a lot of people. I've read that in the Bible, so don't doubt me.
Cutler, who says he does not fish often, but does buy a license, says this is the biggest bass he's ever caught. It is currently in a plastic bag in his fridge.
Oh, dude, come on, man.
So the next time someone comes up to tell you a fish tale, just ask. Sure, but it didn't fall out of the sky. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's also, I'm just like, money! If you see if it falls,
falling from the sky.
Darn it.
That's not going to do it.
That's so fun.
But again, I can just see him driving on the road Sunday morning, heading to church, and a fish out of nowhere comes and lands on your truck.
Sue, what?
Did you see that?
Was that a fish?
That wraps up today's episode of
This shouldn't be a thing.
It just makes me happy.
Yeah, just absolutely. I mean, bummer for the eagle.
Yeah, not good for the eagle. I'm shitting. Bummer for the fish.
I dropped my lunch.
Oh, there it goes. And now he's driving it away. Yes, now he's driving it away. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone in traffic and all across the board at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and being on the stream. It means the world.
Thank you so much.
I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you get the chance to share it. Again, don't forget, Free Ticket Fridays underway. Text in the word pitch. You still got about 90 seconds. P-I-T-C-H. Tom Hartman with the next, a new word for you coming up. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you Monday.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It was a chaotic scene today near the campus of CDC headquarters in Atlanta. WSB radio reporter Jonathan O'Brien says a DeKalb County police officer has been shot and killed, as has the gunman.
Officials say the officer was confronting the gunman when he was shot. He was then rushed to nearby Emory University Hospital, where he died. DeKalb County CEO Lorraine Cochran Johnson calls it a traumatic loss.
My heart goes out to the family as well as the DeKalb County family. And to our frontline responders, to our officers, who in this case simply answered the call.
The officer leaves behind a pregnant wife and two children. The GBI is leading the investigation into the shooting. Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Atlanta.
Officials have now identified the officer as 33-year-old David Rose. The manhunt for the man police say shot and killed a bartender and three customers in a bar next to his house.